From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. HB 2, the North Carolina legislation that mandated bathroom use according to the gender on one's birth certificate, helped to stoke a mainstream national conversation about people who are transgender. We've also seen popular culture pick up the conversation with Amazon's production of a TV show starring Jeffrey Tambor called Transparent. We've watched a very public transition of Bruce Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner. And we've seen the rise of transgender actress Laverne Cox on the hit Netflix series Orange is the New Black, for which she was nominated for an Emmy Award. But outside of pop culture, artistic milieus, or some social circles, that conversation is often relegated to the shadows. Today, we're going to meet two people who are the parents of a child born a boy who started showing signs as a toddler that he wanted to be a girl. Now, that statement alone is rife with ideas that need defining, and today, we're going to set about doing just that. The parents that we're meeting today, Stephanie and Eric, are not using their real names. This is not a tactic WHQR typically employs, but in this case, because we're talking about a child, we've chosen to protect their identities. Stephanie and Eric, welcome to Coastline.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. If you have a question about what it's like to raise a transgender child, give us a call on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Stephanie, the name we're using today to refer to your child is Claire, also a pseudonym,
yes,
for the same reason that we're not using the real names of you and your husband. If people were to figure out who you are, what are you afraid might happen?
I'm afraid of harassing telephone calls, people buzzing by our house, and what being out might do emotionally to our daughter. I think Eric and I could handle it, but I don't think our daughter could handle it very well at this point, especially negative comments and criticism and any kind of bullying. So that's what I'm scared of her life changing as she knows it.
And she's very young. She just turned 7.
Yes.
Eric, why are you willing to talk about this publicly today? What are you hoping comes from this conversation?
I'm hoping that, you know, that people can kind of see it from our perspective of, you know, or, you know, when you're taking care of a child, you know, you're not only taking care of food and shelter, you also have to worry about their emotional well-being. And I think that's key for people to understand, is that we just want our daughter to be happy.
And so take us to that point. It was before she was 4 years old that you started noticing, both of you, proclivities that weren't what we think of as traditionally male. Tell us about that, Stephanie.
Right away, she just had no interest in playing with any of her older brother's toys, no interest in doing boy types of activities, always wanting to hang out with me, loving pink and purple. When she was young, you know, a lot of the toys are still gender neutral, but she would still pick out toys that were clearly geared more towards girls. So it was just, you know, everything that she liked and did and how she acted and how she walked and talked, you know, it was all more feminine than masculine.
Yeah, we had like a drawer full of her older brother's jeans, and she would not wear them. And at a very small age, she always wore sweatpants and would refuse to wear them. I don't know why, other than maybe she thought they were too boyish or whatever. But that was, and that was like from early on. That was like maybe one and a half.
And the days where if she was hanging out, she has a cousin that's around the same age, and like she would get her clothes dirty and they would have to give her some of her cousin's like pink sweatpants. Oh, she would just be dancing around the room, so excited to be wearing girls' clothes. She wouldn't say that, but she could tell by how her behavior changed and how much happier she got.
Now, she wasn't very verbal early on.
No.
And in the first few years of her life, you thought she was autistic?
Yes. Well, she was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. So her ability to say what she liked or to have a conversation, because I think a lot of times in pop culture you hear that the child says, like the first thing they say is, I'm a girl, why are you calling me a boy? And that didn't happen because she just wasn't – she wouldn't conversate with us.
Yeah, I mean, I part of it I think was because she around when she had just turned four, she would refer to herself because as a boy with a dress.
Oh, it was around three.
Yeah,
if you asked
three.
Her if she was a boy or a girl, she'd say, I'm a boy with a dress. And we were like, okay. And we just sat back and watched and let her do her thing. And, you know, we would discuss it and say, well, let's see where this goes. Because we knew, we've just always intrinsically known that she wasn't going to be
A typical boy. Yeah.
There was
we
always
going
to be some kind of gender variation
or
gender nonconforming.
Yeah.
You use the language transitioned. You say that she transitioned after she turned four. So how did you go then? If she's saying, I'm a boy in a dress, how do you go from that to she's a girl or she wants to be a girl?
Happened at the time was Frozen had come out, and she was crazy about Frozen, and she actually wanted us to buy her for at home, you know, princess dresses, Elsa and Anna dresses. And so at home, Claire would dress up as these princesses, and then, you know, we took her to the store and we're like, if you could go and buy whatever clothes you want for yourself, go ahead. We just said, you know, go, here's the store, Old Navy or whatever it was, and go and buy whatever clothes you want for yourself. And Claire went straight to the girls' section and picked out like five or six dresses. And and that's kind of where it started. It was just like, and we were like, well, you know, you can be a girl if you want. And she was like, oh. Like, she didn't realize that was an option. So that's kind of where it happened. And from then on, as soon as we told her you could buy your own clothes, if you want to be a girl, you can be a girl, she went running, took off, and then never went back.
I want to preface that with saying that at no point did we ever tell her that she couldn't play with what she wanted to. So, and we never raised our eyebrows or said, oh, do you really want that? Or are you sure you don't want a different color? You know, we just, you know, agreed that if she wanted pink or purple shoes, okay. So I think her progression into realizing her gender identity was different than a lot of kids because we never said no. We just let her grow and
we didn't
out who she was on her own without making her feel bad or like it was a negative. So it just kind of blossomed.
Well, we didn't give her any preconceived notions about what being a boy and a girl is.
That's
she figured that out on her own. Like, she, pays attention to details and has always had, like, she will, if you change one thing in the room, she will pick it out. And she just has observed, you know, what women are dressing like, what they look like, their hair, the makeup, the jewelry, how it differs from men. And that's what she wanted.
And how is that? So help me with definitions here. And maybe I should preface this by saying, Stephanie, you come at this from a really interesting place.
Yeah.
Before you had Claire, you actually taught gender studies and women's studies.
Yes.
Now, is it possible, just, you know, being super cynical here, that because you were so enmeshed in those ideas and that study, that it was top of mind for you, and so you somehow subconsciously helped lead Claire to this place?
I don't think so, because we never had the conversation, boys can't do this, girls can't do this, girls should do this, and boys should do this. So we never put any judgments on any behavior for her or her brother.
And her brother is all boy. I mean, and she loves her brother and, you know, wants to kind of do what he does in at times. And we never said you need to be more like him or anything like that. It's just we let her be in control, in charge of what how she wanted to be perceived or seen to the world as. And we just kind of we were like, let her be her. And we're not going to tell her to go one way or the other. We're not saying, oh, you need to be more girly or less girly, or why don't you be in the middle? We're just letting her figure it out on her own. Yeah.
When we come back from this break, we're going to explore the idea of gender, its definition, and our ideas of gender versus biological gender. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking today with Eric and Stephanie, who are the parents of a transgender child. We're not using their real names, so they can be as direct and open as possible. If you'd like to ask your own question, you can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking today with the parents of a child who is transgender. Stephanie and Eric are with us today, and we're using pseudonyms to protect their identity. That's not a practice we typically employ in the HQR News Department, but in this case, it's about protecting the privacy of a child. If you'd like to ask a question on this Wednesday, you can do that by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And of course, your child, Eric and Stephanie, we're calling her Claire today for the same reason that we're not using your real names. Claire was born male and she transitioned to female when she was around 4 years old. We know we're going to have people listening to this who say, no child can make life decisions about what they want to be, especially when they're a toddler. That's part of the point of having parents, adults who can guide children and suggest the right path for them. They're not fully developed. Even a 21-year-old doesn't have a fully developed brain when it comes to the judgment part of the brain. So why are you letting this undeveloped little human being make such big life decisions? Stephanie?
That's a really good question and one we get a lot. So there are several reasons, and one is that medical professionals that we have consulted with have told us that even if it was a phase, you would treat her the same way, and they emphasize the importance of accepting her and letting her be who she wants to be on an emotional level, since the rates of suicide are so high, 40% for transgender individuals, our goal is to make sure that that does not happen. So even if it was a phase, if Claire wants to wear a dress, then she's going to wear a dress, because I don't want to worry about a child that's going to mutilate their body or be depressed, and how that can lead to further emotional trauma as they grow up.
And also, you know, people that I know say, you know, a child doesn't know that young. But I'm actually, if you ask any kid, one, two, if you're a boy or a girl, they'll tell you, mm-hmm. you know, and they, and some obviously, you know, are stronger towards the boy end, and some girls are a little more feminine, and there's always everything in between. But if you talk to children, they know who they are. You know, girls are usually hanging out with other girls, and doing what they think girls do, and boys are doing the same thing. And, you know, and sometimes you have boys and girls that, you know, are a little more flexible. But,
now, Eric, if you really drill down into gender identity, when you talk about dresses and you talk about the colors pink and purple and glitter and Barbie dolls maybe, all of those things aren't they sort of culturally imposed ideas of femaleness or girliness? How do you separate out the idea? And have you even done that yet? I mean, do you know if Claire is going to actually physically have that, make that decision to become a female? What's the difference there?
Yeah.
Well, I would say she's already become female, unless you're talking about a medical transition, like surgeries and hormones and all that kind of stuff later down the line. Is that what you're kind
yeah,
of
I mean, how do you know that she's not just playing around with the cultural idea of being a girl?
Since the day she transitioned, she has not gone back for 1 minute.
Yeah, and we understand.
Never, ever.
There are social constructs, you know, because, you know, you go out there and the boy aisle and the girl aisle and the toy sections are vastly different. And, you know, but I feel like, you know, we're not imposing, you know, she's noticing the world on her own. We're not saying this, that, and the other. But she notices, you know, that girls are a certain way. And that's what she wants to be most like. You know? So we can't stop her from noticing what's already out there. We can let her know that, you know, boys and girls should all be treated equally and that sort of thing. And it's okay if a boy isn't as masculine as other boys, or girls are not as feminine as other girls, we're fine. You know, we don't have a problem with that. It's just, you know, but she's super observant. Children are very observant, and people don't realize how much they absorb, you know, watching their, you know, fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and their friends at school, and how much they're taking that in and saying, I like that, I'm going to do that. I don't like that, and I don't want to be any part of that. I mean, you know, if I, you know, it's like with kids eating stuff, you know, it's like if I could impose my will to get them to eat spinach and broccoli, then I would, but I can't because, you know, certain kids just don't like them.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking today with Eric and Stephanie, not their real names, who are the parents of Claire, also a pseudonym, because Claire was born male but transitioned to live as a female at the age of 4. The pseudonyms are in place, of course, so we don't violate the privacy of a child. We're taking your questions on this Wednesday, and we may be having some difficulty with the phone. We've had a couple of calls drop. Give us a call today at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. At what point, Stephanie and Eric, will you have to make a decision about taking physical steps to stop her from developing male traits in puberty?
Well, we have already been to see a pediatric endocrinologist, which is the type of doctor you would go to when you want to suppress puberty and then eventually start hormones treatment. So we've already started to look into that just to know what the process is, what's down the road. So, and I mean, she's already like 2 years ago, she said, Mommy, am I going to grow a beard? Because who ever heard of a girl with a beard?
When she was 5 years old, she said that.
Yeah. So she's already like thinking about these things. So, you know, we have very basic conversations about it. I said, well, you know, don't worry. They have medicine for that. So we don't tell her had this big conversation yet about hormones or surgery. But if she continues with how she is currently developing, then we are going to do puberty blockers so that she doesn't have male puberty. And this would happen around the typical male puberty time of 11, 12. And then usually when you're around 16, sometimes the age varies, then a doctor can prescribe estrogen so that she can start developing female traits. So the benefit to this that I think a lot of people don't understand is that this will prevent – if we decide as a family to go down this path, this would help her so much as an adult because she won't have to do surgeries to alter her body if she doesn't want to, like her face or hands or electrolysis and all those things. And
yeah, because once puberty starts, there are certain things like for boys, you know, the Adam's apple and the deepening of the voice and the growth of hair. If you stop puberty, those things will not occur. And so you're kind of always in what you create is kind of a limbo of not reaching puberty. And the interesting thing is that as soon as you stop the puberty blocking medicine, it would start right back up naturally. And so, you know, if for whatever reason Claire decided that this was not the path she wanted to follow, you know, all you would have to do is not take the puberty blockers, and then everything would just go naturally. So it's kind of a, especially initially early on, it's kind of just a pause. And then as she gets older and, you know, becomes more mature and closer to adult age, you know, she'll have the opportunity to go back if that was what she wanted.
Would a medical professional ever, in the case of a child, say, well, clearly this child identifies more with this gender than the one she was born, and so we might as well just go ahead and make some surgical changes? Mm-hmm. Would that ever happen, or is that just considered?
I think that's rare, like a bottom surgery, as people refer to it, usually does not occur until the individual is 18 years old. I mean, for growth reasons, because your body is still growing, and then because it's such a big decision. I know Jazz Jennings, you know, her latest episode, latest season has started. And
for those folks 16. Who aren't familiar with her, tell us who that is.
So she's probably the most prominent well-known transgender girl.
Child.
Yeah, so she's 16, but she also transitioned, like Claire, at a really early age. So for someone like Jazz or Claire, transitioning so early, generally, you know, if a child transitions as early as Claire or Jazz did and continues with it up until puberty, it very rarely, from what I've been told from medical professionals, change. Like, very rarely does the individual decide, oh, I don't want to be – I'm a girl. I'm not a girl. I'm a boy. So so since Jazz has such a long medical history and social history of being a girl, I think doctors would have a much easier time doing her surgery like at 17 if she wanted to, because there's been no wavering whatsoever. She's been steadfast. And so far to this point, Claire has also been that same way.
And then if you look at other children that might be in a more repressive household that is not allowed to any sort of gender changes, and then the child has to go through puberty and now wants to backtrack and be more feminine or masculine, it's a lot harder. So, you know, because now there's either, you know, certain parts of the body that it, you know, growing that they didn't want to have grown. So some children who transition later for whatever reasons, it's a lot harder. So it's good to kind of start early. And
you're listening to Coastline. We're talking today with Eric and Stephanie, not their real names, who are parenting Claire, also not her real name, because when Claire was 4 years old, she was born as a male. She transitioned to living as female. And of course, since we're talking about a child, we don't want to violate the privacy of that child. But we are taking your questions on this Wednesday. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. We had a call. Alex from Carolina Beach left this message. Alex says, want to thank you for being so open to the public and so supportive to your child.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Now, let's go back. Eric, you used the term repressive household. So let's just dial this back for folks who have never encountered this kind of a conversation and who, if they had been in your shoes and had a little boy who was saying, Mommy and Daddy, I want to wear dresses. I want to do what Mommy does. I want to play with girls' clothes. They would say, let's assume gently, but you're a boy, and that's not what boys do. And so here's a Tonka truck, and here are your jeans, and there might be some tantrums, but we're going to force those jeans on your little body, and you're going to wear little boy togs and, you know, all that sort of thing. What do you see the downside being for that child? Is it possible a child in that circumstance, and we know there have probably been thousands of those, maybe, I don't know, I wouldn't want to speculate. What is the path likely to be for that child?
I mean, one, you know, like we spoke to of earlier, now they're going to go, you know, most likely have to go through whatever, you know, their biological puberty, which is going to be opposite of what they want. And so that's going to create emotional scars like you can't imagine.
Is it possible they'll change what they want? Is it possible they'll come to like the boy things?
I'm sure there's some, because it's a spectrum and there's some people that are more gender fluid. But, you know, if they are truly more identifying with one gender than another, then it's not going to happen. I mean, we can see it that especially with Caitlyn Jenner, it can be a lifetime of struggle. And then finally you're able to do it. And, you know, it would never went away, even though you lived as a male for most of your life, for decades and decades. So, you know, it might be, but I still feel like you need to let, when it comes to your gender role that you want to play in life, it should come from the child. I mean, I think they know best. They know their mind, their personality best.
And I, you know, if, Can we just all imagine going back in time to when we were a kid and what it would feel like if our parents wouldn't let us do the things that we wanted to do, that we were interested in? Like how it would crush your soul? Like if my parents hadn't allowed me to dance or, you know.
Or me to not build things and,
yeah,
and art and do drawing and stuff.
If they had stopped me from doing that. It crushes your spirit. Yeah. And the child isn't happy. And so, and I would just say, can you only imagine, you know, if you're hitting puberty or even younger and you are in a male body, but you feel like you are a female, how difficult that would be to process, and then to not have support to help you through that. Like I can just...
It's hard
only
enough.
Imagine.
It's hard
what
enough
that
just to be
like.
Regular puberty, you know. I mean,
oh, I
and
know.
So to have that on top of it, I just can't imagine. So
the two of you, you're in a support group for parents who have children who are transgender. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, a lot of those parents are having to grieve the loss of a child, but you are not. So there are many parents in your position who are having to actually grieve the loss of their son before they can fully welcome the daughter.
Yeah.
Why are you skipping that step?
For me...
It just was never an issue.
I feel like, you know, she was always a girl and was only living as a boy for the 3-plus years, and which was what we were imposing on her. You know, she wasn't able to tell us. And so we were kind of imposing our expectations, you know, dressing Claire as a boy, and not necessarily buying boy toys, but there were tons in the house because of our older brother. So we were kind of imposing our will on her. And to me, it's just like, it's not about imposing your will on your child. I mean, you know, you take care of your child, you make sure they're safe, you want to make sure they're prepared for life. But, you know, you also want them to be emotionally sound and, you know, psychologically fit for the adult world.
And I want to add, you know, every family story is different and unique and valid to them. So those that do feel like they're mourning the loss of a child, it's not my place to say that that is not appropriate or why are they feeling that way.
No, it just never happened to us. Yeah.
So the way I look at it is Claire was the same child the day before she transitioned than the day after she transitioned. The only thing that was changing was the pronouns that we used and how she dressed. So, and that's how we explained it to our son. We said, you still play with her the same way. You still interact with her the same way. So
nothing has changed except the outer dressing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's really just a superficial change that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's just her kind of conforming to the social constructs that she observes in the world around her.
And so Doug has called in, and he doesn't want to go on the air, but his question, and this is, again, this is really a question about the definition of gender, I suppose, and it's something that I've tried to ask a few times, and it's a very complicated question, so we'll ask it when we come back.
Okay.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with Eric and Stephanie, whose child transitioned from one gender to another at the age of 4. When we come back from this break, it'll be your last chance to ask your own question on this Wednesday. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. You're listening to Coastline. Listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. On today's edition, we're finding out what it's like to be the parent of a child who wants to be a different gender from the one they were born. Stephanie and Eric are with us today. Those are not their real names. We're using pseudonyms in the interest of allowing the frankest, most open discussion we can have without violating the privacy of the child, Claire. Also not her real name, who is involved in this. If you'd like to ask your own question on this Wednesday, you can do that by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And so we're going to circle back around to this whole idea of what gender is. Because before we went to break, you were talking about the idea of Claire, you're not having to mourn the loss of a son because your child has always just been your child.
Right.
That doesn't change. This is a superficial change, the way you see it. So Doug is asking, Doug doesn't want to go on the air, just discuss what's wrong with a boy who is a boy but just happens to like playing with dolls or wearing dresses. And I think that's another part of this question, what is gender? Just because you're a boy and you like girl things, does that have to mean you're a girl?
No.
Can't a boy or a girl just act like whatever they like?
No, not at all. And, you know, the thing is that this is coming from the child. So there's boys out there that like to play with dolls and this, that, and the other, but they still consider themselves boys. They still call themselves boys. They are not questioning that they're a boy.
And that's what Claire did early on. She said, I'm a boy in a dress.
Yeah. And so there's nothing wrong with, you know, somebody being gender fluid and not kind of conforming to the social constructs. But the problem is that if your son says they're a boy, they consider themselves a boy, but they like to do various different things, fine. They're a boy. They consider themselves a boy. And same thing with a girl. If they're a girl, you know, likes to do more boyish things, quote unquote boyish things, That's fine. But what do they consider themselves? You know, it's really comes from them because it's their brain, their mind, their social being that you know we're with Claire is we're letting her take the lead as telling us who she is. You know, how does she want to be perceived as in the world around her?
And medical professionals are telling you that is whether this is her life choice or whether this is a phase. They're telling you this is the best way to build a strong sense of self for her psychological.
Yeah, because
emotional support and letting her be who she is, even if she decides to turn around at 13 and say, you know, I got it wrong. That giving her that support to be who she is mentally
crucial
and emotionally super important.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking today with Eric and Stephanie, not their real names. They're the parents of Claire, also a pseudonym. Claire was born male but transitioned to female at the age of 4. We're taking your questions on this Wednesday. You have a few minutes left to call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Ruth from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hi, Ruth. And Ruth is gone. I don't know if we lost Ruth or if we're still having trouble with our phones. But her point was that people get transgender mixed up with sexual orientation.
Yes.
Can you speak to that a little bit, Stephanie?
All right. Well, so sexual orientation, who you are attracted to, is different than how you identify as a person. So calling yourself a man or a woman is not the same as saying I am heterosexual or I am gay. They're two totally distinct things. So, and when I taught college, that was always the hardest point to get across to my students is that one does not, being a male or a female does not mean that you are going to be gay or straight or somewhere else on the sexual orientation
spectrum.
Why is it that you think people do often confuse those ideas? Why are they often lumped together in the same group?
And maybe because of the LGBTQ kind of, you know, it's been lumped together, but they're really kind of they're similar, but they're different. You know, there's how you identify it, you know, as a person and who you're attracted to. And so you could be transgendered and be gay in a way because you could be, you know, want to be a woman but be attracted to maybe men or women. So, you know, it's a layer. You know, there's different layers going on. And so, so it is confusing because it's not, you know, when HB2 was coming out, you know, I looked online of, you know, and I would go to the comment section and see what are people, you know, what are they discussing? What are the different things? And a lot of people were saying, oh, this is unnatural. And I thought to myself, I was like, it's not really unnatural. I think people are getting uncommon mixed up with unnatural. Because if you think about the albino alligator at Fort Fisher Aquarium, that is uncommon. But you can't say it's unnatural because the alligator was born albino. And so I think people keep thinking, oh, this is unnatural. No, it just doesn't happen as often as your typical I'm born a guy and I'm heterosexual. That is what happens most often. But there are variations in the human experience. And so, you know, people are getting the two kind of confused, and it's like, no, let's get away from calling it unnatural. Let's start calling it uncommon. You know, it's definitely not as common, and that's why I think people have a hard time because they can't relate to it because it's not who they are. So sometimes people have, you know, or struggle with understanding what's not coming
from
them.
You know, you don't grow up being given a definition of what gender is. Like, so most people get or figure out what gender is by the world around them, and most people equate that with your sexual reproductive system, and therefore that is also supposed to be indicative of who you're supposed to be attracted to. So,
and of course, Claire is not at the point yet where she's only 7 years old. So right now she is in school and very young child. How do you, and this actually, Mike from Sunset Beach had called in and left this question, and it's a place we need to go, how she's living with this secret in school. Do you conceal it? Who knows about this? How does she deal with it? Has she told people? It's hard for kids to keep secrets.
Well, and it's very hard for her to keep the secret. It's a heavy emotional burden, but we made the decision that, you know, the school that she goes to knows. And only the teachers that have to know. But we've decided not to let other parents and children know because it really is – I mean, not to let them know because it really isn't any of their business what's in
– Your pants.
What's in my daughter's pants. Her school has been extremely supportive and – each year that she's been there, she's told at least one child.
Impulsively.
Yes.
Like, she'll just kind of be like, oh, you know. Yeah. And because we have it, I think part of it is just because we've made it that it's not a big deal. And it's kind of been coming from her that she, you know, when she transitioned, she was in preschool and the kids did know her previously as a boy. And so, and they still would call her a boy, and she did not like that at all.
Or a boy girl.
And so she kind of kept it when she went on to kindergarten and a different school. She, you know, didn't want people calling her a boy. So, you know.
And she passes as a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Describe her. She's got long hair. Wears girly clothes.
Very girly clothes. I mean, you know, the quintessential girl.
She's a stereotypical.
Yeah.
But even at age
glitter, girl.
Even at age 7, though, you still have to – there are what you called tricks of the trade. There are things that you have to do to make sure that her gender identity, her biological identity is concealed. What do you do, Stephanie?
So, well, at school, the – you know, well, like wearing dresses and making sure that – you know, she always has something under her dress, like little
shorts.
When she dances, you know, making sure the outfit that she's wearing is comfortable, but also conceals certain parts of her body. At four and five, she didn't really get the concept that you have to lock the door in the bathroom stall, you know. And so that was the hardest thing to tell her. Like you can say, you know, it's private, you know, you don't want other people to see you going to the bathroom just because it's a private thing. But still being that age,
we didn't want her to be like, I'm a girl. And I have a penis, and that's bad. We didn't want her to.
You didn't want to shame her.
We didn't want to shame her, and we didn't want, you know, because we know, you know, children will try and cut it off, you know, sort of thing, get that desperate. So this is part of the whole emotional well-being is that children, you know, if you say, hey, look, you know, this is a bad thing, you want to hide it. And then they go to the extreme.
Right. But on the other hand, you're having to do that in a way.
Yeah.
Like when
and
you
it's
talk
really
about
hard.
Putting her in a leotard and having to conceal certain things, you're talking about using what in the
padding
world of transgender they would call
a gaff.
Yep. A gaff, yeah.
And that's something that helps you. It's tuck and tape and make it look like there is no outer genitalia there. So how does that not confuse the message for Claire?
Well, she
kind of
wants
to.
That. She doesn't want to draw attention to that. Like she doesn't want to be out there, "Ooh, I'm a girl that has a penis." Like she wants to fit in. She doesn't
she wants
to be accepted as a girl. So, you know, I just present it to her as, you know, you have this option to wear. Do you want to try it on? And when I made her first gaff, she danced around the living room.
She was so excited.
Just over the moon.
And luckily now there's swimsuits out there that are specifically geared for transgender children. So, you know, there's some options out there that weren't there before.
So we've talked about how you conceal her biological identity and how she passes as a girl and the fact that you keep this from people so that she's not ridiculed and doesn't have to deal with this socially at the age of 7.
Yeah.
But she wants to come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this year she told a classmate and, you know, I picked her up from school and, you know, so whenever something like this happens, I try not to talk to her with alarm in my voice. And I, you know, I heard you had a conversation.
But you're feeling alarmed.
Yeah, I'm like, I am not ready for this. You're only 6. Can we at least get through first grade without, because I can, you know, my brain just starts running with all the different scenarios, and I don't want her heart to be broken as far as people saying comments to her or a child not interacting with her the same way. Like, the idea that that could and might happen just totally breaks my heart. But she told a classmate, and I asked why. And
why do you want to tell people?
Yeah. Specifically, why did she tell this individual? And he was reading a book about a fish that starts as a boy and becomes a girl. And she's like, I couldn't hold it in, Mommy. I had to share it. And so we're kind of at this crossroads because she is impulsive in doing those kind of things. She has ADHD. And so we're trying to figure out, well, do we just let her impulsively tell people along the way? Because that doesn't sound like a good idea to me. It sounds like
she wanted to
a world of trouble.
She wanted to say, well, he can probably keep a secret. And I was like, well, Claire, you know, if you tell one person, you need to tell everybody. We it's too much of a burden on them to force them to have to keep this secret. You know, it's not fair to anybody. And so we've been, you know, organizing and
especially this age.
Yeah.
But,
So,
and even if that little boy wants to keep the secret, just like Claire had a hard time,
exactly.
He's going to have a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we didn't want to have that happen. So we've been organizing with the school and trying to they're trying to introduce transgender issues into the classroom because they, you know, we want to kind of work towards normalizing it, you know, saying this isn't common, but there's nothing wrong with it sort of thing. And so the school's been it's a private school. So, but they've been very open about, you know, working with us and setting up a curriculum in a way of kind of just letting, you know, say, hey, look, this is when Claire does come out, that it won't, it won't be a problem.
You're talking about normalizing this. And if we take this back to HB2 and we don't have much time to address this, then we're talking about people who have already politicized this. They've said, you know, we're putting parameters on this. So does that mean then the school is taking a political position? What will the school say to parents who say, I'm not okay with this and I don't want it normalized? Stephanie.
Well, the school is, they feel that it's very important on a social justice level to start introducing this, you know, and it's not like you have a conversation with the first graders with charts and things like this is a boy and this is what it means and this is a girl and this is transgender and, you know, it's not that kind of conversation. It's just starting the conversation that not everybody fits in these stereotypical boy and girl boxes and that there is a spectrum of how
we all exist.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's that kind of simple conversation starting at a young age, therefore normalizing it so that when they get older and they go on that, yeah.
And that's all the time we have. That's this edition of Coastline. So grateful, Stephanie and Eric, that
you
were
so
able
much
to join us today and willing to have this conversation.
Definitely. Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org.
Get the podcast, find it on the HQR app, tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.